Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
Proverbs 14:34. And Proverbs 14:34 says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." And this morning I tried to make the case from Scripture how righteousness exalts a nation. If the majority of people of a nation get saved, they are then indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And if pastors are preaching the word as they should, it will convict them to live lives that are holy and righteous, to be moral, to be industrious, to be trustworthy, to be respectful, to be compassionate. And that affects everything from health care to racial relations to the economy. Righteousness impacts our daily lives in a very real and a very profound way. And that is what made America great, folks. If you want to make America great again, we will go back to righteousness. We will go back to what de Tocqueville saw when he came to America. The Frenchman that came to America, read it in his book. I've got his book. Read what he said. It's a big book. I mean, he wrote about everything in America, just about. But he observed. He was here either in the late 1700s. I think it's more the early 1800s. He observed that on Sunday, everybody was in church. And on Sunday, there wasn't a business to be open except for businesses that really had to be, like an inn, a motel kind of thing. That's all that was open back then. And that says something about our country back then. And that's back when, although I didn't live in the early 1800s, that is back when you could leave your doors unlocked at night. You could leave the keys in the car. That's what happens when righteousness prevails. But what happens when sin prevails? Sin is a reproach to any people. One well-known preacher, I didn't put his name on here, but most of you in this room would know him if I called his name, said this about this verse. He says, "While just principles and actions preserve and even exalt a society, their absence shames a society." Righteousness promotes a society. The absence of righteousness and the presence of sin will shame a society. It will bring reproach. Reproach means to shame. You become a shameful society. So sin brings shame to an individual. Sin can bring shame to a family. Sin can bring shame to a community. Sin can bring shame to a nation. I want you to see what sin can do. This is by way of introduction, these five things. It is the nature of sin to lessen and diminish a people. Have you been reading recently about the streets of Los Angeles and San Francisco? California, probably the liberal capital of the world, and it's becoming uninhabitable, and they're taxing their people more and more, and the streets are being filled more and more by not only homeless people, but drug addicts. I was mentioning that to my son, Matt, who lived in California for a number of years, and he said, "Dad," he said, "it's bad." He said, there's lots of Los Angeles downtown. You don't want to go there. Or to San Francisco. I mean, sin brings people down. It always does. It diminishes people. I've never seen somebody get involved in sin and it profited them. And you're never going to see a nation that drowns itself in sin and it profits that nation. Number two, it is the nature of sin to sink and depress the spirits of people. It's just the nature of sin. Nothing good comes from sin. Three, it is the nature of sin to destroy the wealth of a nation and subject them to all the evils and reproaches of poverty. nations in sin are nations that will find themselves with a much lower life standard or living standard, a much lower life expectancy. These are all the repercussions of sin. Number four, it is the nature of sin to deprive a people of the blessings of freedom and involve them in the misery and the meanness of slavery. Folks, when you get righteousness out of the equation of a nation, it might for a while go into socialism and all seems to be okay for a while. But in the end, when righteousness is gone, it becomes a power struggle. I don't care about your feelings. Let's talk about facts, okay? Facts are there were revolutions in France that ended up with Napoleon, a dictator, okay? You will do what he tells you to do. If he wants our church, if Napoleon were alive today, if he wanted our church to open, he could declare it open. He could declare it closed. He could put thugs outside the doors here and say, you people can never meet again. In China, things devolve down to the point that you have Mao in charge with literally millions of people dying, children, innocent men, women, and children, moms and dads. It always ends up, when you take God out of the equation, it can't help but end up in a power struggle. And when it ends up in a power struggle, who's going to always win? The biggest thug is going to win. It is inevitable. Now, there's only one cure for that. People living in righteousness, practicing morality, respect, compassion, industriousness. Righteousness exalts a nation. But it is also, where am I, number five? It is the nature of vice to provoke the displeasure of God and to draw down his judgments, which complete the ruin of a people. So this morning I tried to show you from Scripture how righteousness exalts a nation. People get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in, they're interested in God's Word, they read it, it convicts them, they hear it preached, it convicts them, it helps make bad people into good people. And we see that happen all the time. But what about where sin prevails? Sin is a reproach. It's a shame to any people. We looked at seven things this morning, this afternoon. I don't know where it came from, but people talk about the seven deadly sins. And I thought, okay, let me look up. What are the seven deadly sins as the world talks about sin? What are the seven deadly sins? So we're going to look at what the world describes as the seven deadly sins, okay? And in these, you can see if we go this route, where we're going to end up. Number one. Sin makes people immoral. Matthew 5:28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. That verse has to be taught because it's man's natural inclination to be lustful. And without the controls of the Holy Spirit, the preaching of the Word of God and the man of God in our lives, a man is going to be going in this direction. And with immorality, that's going to produce all sorts of sexually transmitted diseases. There's going to be all sorts of abortions going on. There's going to be all sorts of people just living together and people that are married getting divorced and what have you because sin makes people immoral. The Bible says that. It is true. And when you get away from righteousness, when righteousness is removed, what is going to always fill the void? It's going to be sin. And sin is going to bring immorality. And immorality in a nation is going to be costly. It's going to be very costly. As people are dealing with all sorts of disease that they didn't have to have. And things like abortion and all the social ills that come with that. Sin also makes people addicts. Use the term gluttony. Gluttony is really an addiction to food. Proverbs 23:21, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall close a man with rags. So a drunkard or a glutton, and a glutton, you could be gluttonous for food, of course, but you could be gluttonous for, alcohol, tobacco, any of those things. And it says, shall come to poverty. So with addictions comes all sorts of crime. I was watching a documentary on, I forget what drug it was. I I think it was heroin maybe, I'm not sure, but in the state of Oregon. And I was flabbergasted. This was a legitimate documentary that I was watching several years ago, and it was heroin or something. But sometimes we don't put two and two together, but I was floored when they were talking to like the state attorney general, who said something like 95% of all theft and burglaries in the state of Oregon is related to drugs. Drugs. Like something like 95%. So take away the drugs, take away that sin, and see how much our life improves. What's the answer to taking away those sins? It's righteousness. Sin makes people addicts, and it has a horrible effect on the crime rate, and we're having to live in greater and greater fear. We got to pay more and more for more and more police, more and more judges, more and more correctional institutions. And the price goes on and up and up. Sin makes people addicts. Sin makes people lawless. We're talking about how sin reproaches a nation and makes people lawless. Ephesians 4:19, who being past feelings have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. Lasciviousness, uncleanness, greediness, wanting what you have and therefore stealing it or taking it or ripping you off. I mean, there's all sorts of problems that come with lawlessness. It's greed that justifies people that are promoting this identity politics. It's greed in the hearts of people that will justify them lying or cheating, stealing to get what they want, embezzling from their employer. Sin makes people lawless. Sin is a reproach to any people. What we're seeing today, and we can blame it on the Democrats, we can blame it on the Republicans, we can blame it on the Independents. Let's just blame it on what it is. It's sin. The things that concern you and I today, the thing that makes us lock our doors, take the keys out of the car, call the kids in fact, not even let them out of our sight, at the root of it is sin. Sin is a reproach. Sin makes people addicts. It makes people lawless. Makes people immoral. It makes people dependent. It makes people dependent upon other people. Proverbs 15:19. The way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. Anything you read about the slothful man, anything you read about the sluggard, it's all bad. Everything that happens to a lazy person is all bad. And sin will make people dependent. Laziness, slothfulness, being a sluggard is sin. And laziness will only produce more candidates for the welfare state. Laziness is a breeding ground for people don't get educated, they become ignorant. Ignorant people tend to have their lives filled with all sorts of drama. They're uneducated, they're ignorant, they're guided by their emotions, their feelings. They don't know what they're talking about. What is the problem there? It is sin. Sin makes people dependent. Why are people dependent? Because they are lazy. And there's people today that make a job out of ripping the system off, out of playing the system. I mean, there's people that know how to do it. And you know, that's not free. There's no, y'all make me so mad. Now, there is no free health care. There is no free education. Do you understand that? There is no such thing as free. Somebody's going to pay for it. And it's not going to be the lazy people. It's not going to be the people without character. There is no such thing as free health care. There's no such thing as free education. Sin makes people dependent. Sin makes people angry. Wrath, Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Angry people, sadly, so often become violent people. Angry people commit horrible crimes. And the Bible tells us that that's a sin. And sin running rampant in this nation poses threats to all of us. None of us are safe, and it's only going to get worse. Number six, sin makes people resentful. People are resentful because they're envious. They want what you have. Proverbs 27:4, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? It's that envy that breeds racism. It's envy that breeds conflict between men and women. It's envy that pits blacks against whites. It's envy that pits employers against employees. Do you understand what I am preaching to you today? Behind all of this is my desire to see a United States of America. I want to see us come together. I want to see us in harmony. I don't want to see some people, when the national anthem is being played, down on their knees while others stand. I want all of us to appreciate what we have, and I want us to understand how we got it. And there is only one thing that will unite us, that is righteousness, and there is one thing that will divide us, and it is sin, and it is that simple. I want to see us united. We do not have to have conflict between employers and employees. We do not have to have conflict between men and women. We do not have to have conflict between Hispanics and Puerto Rican. Well, I guess they're Hispanics too, but Hispanics are, and Asians and blacks and whites. It doesn't have to be that way. There is a better way. Sin makes people resentful, and sin makes people arrogant. Pride, Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It is pride that produces elitist. And trust me, folks, there are political elitists in this world who thinks they know better than you. I would venture to say, if you want, you know, they're extreme examples, but it's an example. Hitler knew better than everybody else how it ought to be. And then he found people around him. And again, he was a thug. And who always rises to the top in a sinful world, whether it's Hell's Angels or whether it's in a nation? It's the most brutal person, the most cunning, the most crafty, is always going to rise to the top. That is not debatable. That is a historical fact. You better hope we see revival in this land. And there may be a period of time before we get to that point, but eventually that's where people will be headed. Because socialism will only last so long until you kill the goose that laid the golden egg. And you will be killing the goose that lays the golden egg. So that may last you for a while, but then you're going to have Venezuela on your hands, where there's rioting in the streets and you can't afford to buy a gallon of milk. Understand, the answer to that is righteousness. Sin makes people arrogant. Elitists rise to the top. And pride always seeks power. And when pride has power, pride does not want to give it up. So again, let's just look at the simple verse. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When you have righteousness, You have self-control. You have a covenant. That's what we had with the original colonies. There's a covenant. We understand that we're equal. We understand that we're God's creation. We're living by the principles of God's word. The founding fathers were very outspoken about that. And you had harmony and you had peace. And you didn't have to lock your doors at night. But we know for a fact that this nation is drifting from God. That churches are diminishing, and a lot of churches are going apostate. Apostate means they are drifting from the truth of God's word. It means they're teaching a cultural Christianity. They're really setting themselves up as God. They're passing judgment on God's word rather than letting God's word pass judgment on them. So righteousness exalts a nation in that people get saved, they hear the preaching, they change. You don't need laws. You don't need welfare to any great degree, except for people who can't care for themselves. And the Bible tells us there, too, that we should care for people that can't care for themselves. But we also understand that sin is a reproach. And there's only one answer for sin, and that is righteousness. Let me end this afternoon with several quotes from someone I would highly recommend that you read. His name is Oz Guinness. I've mentioned him before. Oz Guinness is British, raised on the mission field in China by missionary parents, but is a big fan of America. He is a Christian philosopher. Extremely bright. I've seen him give so many detailed messages, and he's just standing up there, no notes. And he'll go down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's all up here. He's a brilliant man, very interesting to listen to. But he has written several books here lately. Several books that warn of his concern for the direction of that his adopted country is going. He loves his country, and he knows the history of this country probably better than all of us in this room combined would know it. Listen to what he says on this topic. We'll conclude with three different quotes from him. He said, freedom, and you got to think about this because he's a little bit deep. And I have to stop and scratch my head and read it several times to get it. But I hope you're smarter than me and you'll get it faster than me. Freedom without virtue. Where does virtue come from, folks? Faith. Faith in God. That's the only... You don't get virtue from the hell's angels. You don't get virtue from anything man does. Freedom without virtue. Leadership without character. Business without trust. Law without customs. Education without meaning. And medicine, science, and technology without human considerations can end only in disaster. Now, this is an outsider who loves this country, who sees where it is going. This is worth reading again. Freedom without virtue. Because freedom without virtue does what? It turns to license. Freedom without virtue means I can do whatever I want to do. That's what license is. I can steal, I can lie, I can cheat my way to the top. And so freedom without virtue leads to license. And then license leads to people fighting with one another, and it starts a power struggle where the thug ends up in charge, whether it's Hitler, Lenin, or Mao, or Castro. They were all thugs. Freedom without virtue, leadership without character. Where does that come from? That comes from virtue. Business without trust, where does that come from? That comes from righteousness. Law without customs, he's talking about righteousness there. Education without meaning, righteousness. Medicine, science, and technology without human considerations can end only in disaster. He goes on to say, second quote, the spirit of liberty, what made this nation unique among the nations in the history of the world, is not to be found in courts, laws, and constitutions alone. Liberty lives in the hearts of men and women. When it dies there, no constitution, no law, no court can even do much to save it. While it lives there, it needs no constitution, no law, no court to save it. The nation's structures of liberty must always be balanced by the spirit of liberty, and the laws of the land by the habits of the heart. In his books, he talks a lot about the habits of the heart. And what he is saying is, back with our founding fathers and early on through much of our history, the habits of our hearts were good. They were moral. They were ethical. They were decent. I remember hearing, I know his name as well as my own, brother lived to almost be 100 here at church, Tom. Brother Roy McClinchy. I mean, Brother Roy died almost 100, so been around a long time. And if he told me once, he told me a bunch of times. He would say, Pastor, he said, I remember all you had to do was shake somebody's hand, and you didn't need it in writing. That's a habit of the heart produced by virtue, which comes from righteousness. And we know from our definition this morning, righteousness is simply living and loving the Word of God. The nation's structures of liberty must always be balanced by the spirit of liberty and the laws of the land by the habits of the heart. And then he goes on to say, my last quote from Guinness, in short, sustainable freedom depends on the character of the rulers and the ruled alike. In short, sustainable freedom depends on the character of the rulers and the ruled alike. Folks, we can lose our freedoms. You know, don't assume for one second that, you know, it's just going to always be this way. I think, personal opinion, we're on the doorstep of some of them being threatened right now. Coming from certain circles, we're hearing things we've never heard before. And it's just greater control, greater control, greater control. And on the vital trust between them both, by which are far more than a matter of law. The Constitution, which is the foundation law of the land, should be supported and sustained by the faith, character, and virtue of the entire citizenry, which comprises its moral constitution, or habits of the heart. Together with the Constitution, these habits of the heart are the real, complete, and essential bulwark of American liberty. A republic grounded only in a consensus forged of calculation and competing self-interest can never last. A republic grounded only in a consensus of forged or calculation and competing self-interest can never last. I've never in my lifetime seen so much competing self-interest in our country being ripped apart. Men against women, old against young, black against white, employers against employees. Folks, I'm for bringing us together again. I'm for having a United States of America. A group of righteous people are quite capable of attaining that. Let's just break it down real small. We're done. Just this room. In this room, I have no doubt that, let's say we're all on an island and we're the country. You live in the country of Glendovia, okay? I like that. Glendovia is our Sharon? No? No? Okay, we live in the town of Sharonville. We live in the town of Sharonville. As we are. And let's just assume that we're all saved, born again people. We believe the Bible. None of us are perfect. We struggle. But we're trying to get it right. We're not going to need a bunch of laws and rules. Are we? Are we going to need a very big police force? Now, should Tom go to steal donuts from the neighbors? We might need a justice of the peace. But, you know, let's just break it down to a size we can understand. This people right here, we form our own country. You know, how much money are we going to have to spend on addictions and, you know, bad livers from this and lung disease from that? It's going to be a pretty good world. Now, across the bay, in the land of the Hell's Angels, I don't want to go there. I don't live there. Oh, and now they may have order there, because the thug with the brass knuckles is going to beat you in the face if you don't say yes sir and no sir to him, and that's the only way they can keep any semblance of order. So there you have it. You have the option of living under a thug, or in total anarchy, where men are taking other men's wives and just stealing and beating up and drunken brawls and what have you. Those are two overly simple illustrations of two different islands, two different countries, two different types of people, but they prove my point perfectly, which is stated in Proverbs 14, verse number 34. where it says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, this verse, as we're done, should encourage us. I would hate to know that there's nothing we can do. But the truth is, folks, as bad as we are trending, there's a lot we can do. We can live it ourselves. Now, it's hard. It's hard to be righteous. But we can do it by God's grace. We can do it, and we can certainly be growing. I'm not what I ought to be, but thankfully I'm not what I was. And that's a good sign. I think I'm headed in the right direction. Still got a long ways to go. So we can be righteous. We can be a witness to people in our community. We can get involved in church. We can give. We can support. I mean, we can do everything from teaching Sunday school, singing in the choir, working in the nursery, showing up tomorrow afternoon with a rake. Those are all positive things that we can do. We can be a testimony. We can be an influence to this land. We can see revival. There were major revivals here in the United States that really that existed prior to the revolution and then after the revolution. I mean, changed this country, changed families, changed individuals, changed towns. I've watched several documentaries on that. And it was whole towns would change because people were getting saved. So it may sound like a daunting task. Can we really see revival, people saved, so righteousness can exalt our nation? Is it really possible? Yes, it's possible, but more than that, it is right that we pursue it, whether it happens or not. Whether God sends it or not, and we'll just trust His divine will, it is certainly right for us to do everything in our power. So while I'm concerned about the direction of our country, I can tell you this, I'm going to do my part. As many years as God gives me remaining. I'm not perfect. I'll make my mistakes, but I know where I need to go as an individual. I know where my family needs to be as a family, and I know what I need to do to influence everybody around us that I can. When you think about our country, righteousness exalteth a nation. And folks, we share this nation with others. It's going to impact us. Let's not stick our heads in the sand. Let's not cuss out the TV at night because we don't like what we see on the evening news. Let us be positive. Let us be encouraged. Let us be excited about what God can do. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's Word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.